I think the word that comes to mind is like momentum. Like, I think that has been like what I've walked away with is like, I set out to do a thing and I freaking did it. And that's a really good feeling.
Welcome to the Ladies Who Lead podcast. This is a community of women supporting women. Tune in every other Thursday to hear from SK Vaughn as she catches up with ordinary ladies doing extraordinary things. We will cover topics like diversity and inclusion, gender pay gap, thought leadership, and respect in the workplace. We want to celebrate with you and hear stories of success and hard lessons learned. Whether you are a lady who leads in the boardroom or a lady who leads in your community, this is the place for you. Let's do this.
Hello, everyone. My name is Lindsay Miller, not your usual podcast host today. I am a good friend of SK Vaughn, and we've known each other for a very long time. And she has asked me to be the guest host today. So, plot twist, I'm taking over the Ladies Who Lead. And I'm so excited to be here. It's such a great moment to celebrate in the history of the Ladies Who Lead and just the hard work that's been put into this podcast, the amount of people that have come through and shared their stories and experiences in their workplace and their life on how to be a woman of conviction, a woman that works hard. The cumulative wisdom that has come out of this podcast is something to celebrate. And I'm so excited to be here and to introduce you to the lady who leads and has led me in more ways than one. Like I said, we've known each other for a couple of years, especially our formative years in our 20s. And today she actually happens to be my boss. And it's such a great feeling to have someone who cares for you and leads you in the way that she preaches. So SK, come on out.
Wow, what an intro. The tables have turned. I'm kind of here for it.
Well, tell us how you are surviving and thriving today.
I will. And thank you for just such a lovely intro. I think you lead in incredible ways too. And so it's just an honor to get to know you and to work with you. And I know this is just the beginning of our long and fruitful and fun relationship. I am surviving this week just because it's been a really jam-packed week for me, right? Like I just got back from that big trip and I've been, you know, people are probably like so over hearing about Greece at this point, but so there's more coming. It's just been a really busy week and great content coming out like left and right for the Ladies Who Lead, which has been really a labor of love, but also super fun. And then just surviving because I've just been really busy. We had our Ladies Who lunch, our second one on Tuesday. And so it's just been a very busy, busy week. And I am surviving a little bit in that, but also thriving because like, what a time to be alive. I just feel really encouraged. I mean, this is not a big deal to most people, but Lindsay knows I like sent her a screenshot at like midnight the other night. I finally hit 1,000 followers.
Yes, that's a huge deal.
It's, you know, it's one of those like, if you don't celebrate the small moments, you'll forget to celebrate the big moments. And I realized not to everyone that like, 1,000 is very much and the vanity metrics of the gram. But to me, it's been a goal of mine for a while to hit that because I'm not doing crazy ad budget stuff on the podcast. Like a lot of it's organic. I'm starting to do more giveaways, but it's been a slow growth and it's just really, really full circle moment to finally hit that magical number for me. For some reason, that was the number. I mean, obviously I want to continue to set new goals, but yeah. That's how I'm thriving.
Meeting 1,000 organically is no joke, especially with we've talked about this many times. The algorithm tends to favor the money behind those posts or boosting those posts. So I'm really proud of you. You worked hard. And just from this point of view, watching her create the podcast, you know, she interviews all of the guests and then also doing social media. It's like, you know, running another business. And I'm a fan of side hustles. I've had quite a few in my lifetime. And SK does a really great job of one, creating work balance. You just put a lot of effort into things. And I really admire that. But speaking of effort, gosh, can you believe we've gotten to season 3 of the Ladies Who Lead?
No, I can't. Before we jump into that, how are you surviving and thriving this week, Lindsay?
Ah, that's so sweet. I am surviving. I actually feel like I'm kind of working through this, analyzing a lot of my work. Like, what do I enjoy the most? What kind of frustrates me in my tasks? At work, we're going through Working Genius, and that's been really helpful to figure out what my joys are, my competencies are, and my frustrations. And so I think I've been kind of taking a step back and looking at, like, hey, what do you really enjoy doing in your job? There are a lot of things that I enjoy. But of course, you know, there's some things that I get really frustrated with because it's not one of my working geniuses. So kind of surviving in that way. When I start analyzing, I go into a deep rabbit hole and I have to just resurface. And SK actually did that for me yesterday, where she just helped me kind of think through some things and think about how I could possibly turn my frustrations into joys. I am thriving because I am putting more time into my art recently. And I am becoming more inspired by things that I see outside. I love going for walks. So I'm trying to create more floral pieces for Lucky Lindsay Studio. That's what I'm doing right now. So it's been fun to kind of like think through, what would I want in my house? You know, what do I want? And because I have similar tastes to a lot of people, and I want to create affordable, beautiful art for people in their homes. So it's been kind of fun to have that creative outlet outside of work. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. And I'm dropping those links in the show notes now. So I'm a big fan of her work. She's an incredible artist as well as person and marketer. Definitely check it out. So linking that and Working Genius in the show notes.
So tell me what it means. You're in season 3 now of The Ladies Who Lead.
Ah, yes. It's bittersweet because it's just been such a fun, unreal season. I feel like every season that I've done episodes, it's just continuously gotten better and better, right? It's like, how can we top last season, right? And I feel like season 3 was like a culmination of just a lot of hard work and a lot of really great storytelling and women who are doing such amazing work. And of course, in all the other seasons, they are and were too. But I like to think that I've gotten better in the interview process and in like the technical aspects of podcast audio, thanks to Nick, of course, which he's huge in helping edit and get things turned around for me. I just feel like each season we've just gotten better and better. And that's just been incredible to see your work continue to improve over time, especially when you're like myself and I'm like, results, you know? So it's just been really beautiful and special to kind of see.
So for any aspiring podcasters, you know, what is your big piece of advice for them?
There is hope.
Fair play. It's no easy gig.
No, not at all. And I think people who are aspiring to do podcasting, I think you have to be really realistic with how much time you're willing to give it. I've had so many people approach me actually individually about helping them with strategy to start a podcast and to walk it out with them. And to like implement a lot of it for them. And I just have to like, you know, obviously I have my pricing model and everything, but it's a lot of work. And I think people sometimes walk into it a little bit naive and thinking, oh, like, you know, I'm just going to, you know, get on a mic, do my episode and post it. And some people do that, right? Like a lot of podcasters don't edit their episodes. I know myself, I am unfiltered and there's no telling how many times I'm going to mess something up. So personally, that doesn't work for me. But I think you have to just be really realistic about how much it's going to cost to get things set up and also what your goal really is with it. And in our membership group, I'm going to plug that. I'm walking that out in some behind the scene type episodes where we're going a little bit deeper into the making of the podcast.
That's so helpful. I feel like one of the things we discussed is a lot of people gatekeep, you know, how they make certain things. But I found the most helpful creators are the ones that are like, hey, our content's not going to be the same because we're different people. And I'm really excited for you to be able to share your voice. And I'm happy that you are providing that type of content for your membership members. So y'all check that out. Certainly, it's going to be very helpful. I have another question about the season. So obviously, you know, I'm one of the OGs from season one, not to brag. That's right. But so the first season, I imagine you were still figuring out, like, what do I want to share? You know, the way that even you pick your guests, the way that you orchestrate the interviews to get, you know, you want the authentic story, but you probably also have some type of underlying theme or like focus of each episode. Was there a theme for this season?
Great question. I don't necessarily have one theme, you know, for the entire season. I do notice patterns within themes in my seasons, but I think a lot of it comes down to like resilience, hope, empowerment, maybe even sometimes frustrations that people are seeing play out in real time. Like one of my favorite episodes that just recently went out was about IVF and infertility in Alabama specifically. And that's the first time I've ever interviewed someone that wasn't like in a necessarily like a neutral position. I try to keep a sense of neutrality so that the podcast can be a little bit more open to everyone who wants to listen. But that was kind of the first time that I allowed someone space to really speak on a platform and share what they're actually going through and speak for a group of women. And it was incredible. I mean, it was very intimidating and overwhelming because I had to do a lot of research up front. So I actually knew I had to educate myself and put in the work. And I think that's something that's a theme for me is like, I want to continue to make it better and better. And that takes a little bit more time to like own your craft and really educate yourself on like what's going on in the world and around you. And I think that was kind of like a pivotal point in the season and a kind of a theme of like, not necessarily social justice, but in a way, it's a little bit more advocacy than I normally tend to go down in terms of that route. So I think in terms of a theme, I don't really have one, except it's all about like trying to encourage people and not tear people down in the process. Because I think a lot of podcasts and just spokespeople who think, oh, feminist, you know, feminism, like, I really don't subscribe to that message. I'm an equal opportunist. And my platform is to build people up, all people, not tear them down. It just happens to be from a female point of view, because that's me. And so I guess that's kind of the theme, is to continue to build not only the podcast, myself, but others with me, like take them with me and build this thing up.
That's awesome. And I agree. That's such a great approach, because from the get-go, you might be like, oh, this has to be, you know, all about women. We hate men. But truthfully, like there's a whole community, a whole group of people out there who are men who should also listen to the woman's perspective. That's a big part of, you know, what we feel in general. But I won't go down that road. That's another podcast episode, I imagine.
Yeah, but two things can be the same, right? Like you can still want to advocate for women's rights and for awesome things that women are doing around you, and also completely love men. And I love men, right? I'm married to one, and I couldn't do life without Justin, my partner, my husband. Like he is the biggest supporter, and the reality is he can't do what he does really well with his work without someone being behind him, supporting him, doing a lot of the grunt work that people don't see. And same for me, you know, and it's important to realize that like, it takes all of us to make the world go round. So although I am highlighting and featuring women and maybe even some discrimination that we are seeing play out in the workplace and in the world, because it's, let's be honest, it's still there. But let's also celebrate and champion one another and change the narrative of women against women.
That's why I love the Ladies Who Lead. I think it's more than just a podcast. It's actually kind of a movement to me. And maybe that's something that you haven't noticed, that how your podcast has evolved, you know, since it was created. But like, what are some other things that have come out of this more than like you never thought this would come out of your podcast?
So season one, I was like kind of in like a low place. I was having brunch with my mom and sister, and I was living in Birmingham at the time. And I will never forget this. I kid you not. I was sitting there and I saw a familiar face, I think from work at the time. We weren't, it was a big area place that I worked at, so I didn't know everybody. But I would, you know, occasionally get on like the big Zoom call with the whole company and stuff. So like, I think there was just some familiarity there. and she was having brunch with her mom. And she stops in the middle of her brunch because they're sitting next to us. And she was like, "You're SK, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she was like, "I just want you to know how much your podcast means to me. I don't know if you know this, but like it's really gotten me through the last couple of months at work." And season one, if you go back and listen to it, it's pretty rough from like the SK perspective. Not because of the subject matter or the incredible guests that agreed to come on. It's literally just because I'm critical of myself and like the quality and how it all has evolved since then. So thank you for those who are the OGs that came on season one. That was really profound to me. It's already a really vulnerable thing to do, is to like put yourself out there in this way. And you just don't know how people are going to receive you. And truthfully, I've had both good and bad in this. And so it was just really, really humbling and encouraging to hear that like what our conversations consist of on the podcast is actually making real difference. Are you looking for a new membership to really plug into, find community, and really begin thriving? Well, we have just the membership for you at the Ladies Who Lead podcast. We have a membership on Patreon that is the Thriving Membership. It's only $5 a month. You get exclusive content, bonus episodes, sneak peek of the new merch, and early access to all of our announcements and promotions that are happening right here, right now. You're just the first person to know about it. If this sounds like the membership group for you, don't hesitate to sign up as we link it in our show notes. It's patreon.com/theladieswholead. And this is an incredible membership you do not want to miss out on.
And what's interesting is when you're starting off to do something that you really love to do, we're so sensitive. I'm also a sensitive person when it comes to like people's judgments. Like easily I could not care about something, but if it's something I'm really passionate about, you just feel like you have exposed skin, like ready for, you know, somebody to fire some arrows at you. And when they do, it hurts so bad. But like you said, we always remember the good things to like the people that come out and they say, "Hey, I really enjoyed this." That means the world to creators in general. And I try to live by, I feel like we both do this, but whenever I see something that I enjoy, I try to tell the person. Like I try to tell them immediately, because why don't we tell people when we love what they create or what they do or something they said? It's just, I think our days would be brighter if we just told people up front, you know, what we were thinking, of course, if it's good. And then we've talked about this in the past, literally the last time we did this podcast, when I was a guest, we talked about good criticism and how that is also helpful. But all that to say, I know just being on this side, how much that means to you too, because of how much work you put in. Yeah. But that's all. And I know there's been a lot of growth and challenges that you've had, you know, in between seasons. Can you tell me like more about that in particular?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, everything is kind of like, if you see it how it is today, odds are I've tried it 5 other ways and it didn't work. You know what I mean? Like that's the beauty of like learning, is there's a safe place to fail. And there's plenty of examples of where I have. And I think, you know, it's okay to fail, but you've got to get back up and learn from it. And so I think the biggest challenge is like scaling this thing as a one man band or one woman band. Nick has been huge in helping me scale this season, because keep in mind, I think the first season, if I'm correct, my goal was to do it once a week, right? Like I think that's every podcaster's goal, setting out to do that. And typically you do, you know, pre-record everything and like have it like at least a few episodes scheduled out ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And I did do that starting out. But then of course, as life gets busy, people reschedule interviews. It makes it increasingly difficult to stay on top of that routine of weekly expectations of dropping it. And you have to, because consistency is so important, really in anything you do, but especially in marketing or podcasting, like those things are essential. And that was a big challenge as a person who still works full time, is very professionally involved around the community and other people's lives, and still wants to have like somewhat of a normal life where you're social and you've still got a partner at home. You know, you still have to do all the things. So I think season one was just like trying to give myself grace. So I scaled back and only started doing it twice a month, which hurt me in reach, right? But that was what I could do at the time. I believe season two, I did the same thing. Like I was like, okay, well, this seems to be working. This seems to be more realistic for me and my schedule. Let's just keep doing two a month. And then season three, I just blew it all up. I'm doing one every week. I'm doing two interviews per month and then two solo casts. And Lindsay actually was a big encourager for me to go solo on the podcast. It is super vulnerable and uncomfortable sometimes and intimidating to be the only one on the mic. But I've really powered through that. And it's with the help of bringing on Nick this season, who is an incredible sound engineer. So shout out to you, Nick. He has really helped me kind of scale this thing. And I've been trying to think since season two, I really want to monetize this thing. Season three brought about some sponsorship opportunities, which y'all have heard play out and ad placements. Season three has brought about a membership group through Patreon. So it's definitely made me change the game. I think season two, I started blogging a little bit more frequently. Season three, I just decided to go in on everything. Blogging, social, more episodes, additional episodes that are only exclusive to membership group, walking out the behind the scenes and the making of the podcast. So this season, I've just gone like balls to the wall.
And it shows. I mean, I know if one thing you're going to do, it's you're going to go balls to the wall. And it's been fun to watch. So I have a question. Obviously, since you selected me as one of your guests, I know why you selected me, because I'm, you know, me, whatever. Just kidding. How do you go about selecting guests in general? Like, is there a rhyme or reason? You have a method to your madness?
If y'all heard how many times I get told no in a week, you would like lose yourself in that. Really, the podcast initially, I had to reach out to a few people within my network. And then the beautiful thing about when you care for your relationships, there's a referral-based system in place that people don't necessarily see. And I've also created systems that in season two, I use Calendly, for example, to schedule all of my interviews and do a lot of the heavy lifting on the administrative side, which also frees me up to do more of the creative. So I've put systems in place to support my goals. But I will say, like, the referral system that I have in place where I reach out to people who've come on the podcast and I'm like, since it's all about women encouraging women and empowering one another, who do you know in your network that I might not know that would be a great fit for the podcast? And nine times out of 10, the interviewee is excited to share with their friends, not only their episode, but also a chance to be a part of it too. And that's a really special thing.
It is so special. And they've been really fun to listen to. Obviously, there's a lot of memories wrapped up in like your personal life and in this podcast life. Have there been any like just, I remember this interaction on the podcast or this person saying this, and maybe it was like it took you off guard when you were even recording, but there was something that really resonated with you from season three or from really any season?
Yeah. Lacey from Basic to Shop, that's all about sustainable fashion and like slow fashion. That was a really informative episode for me because I'm really into my looks and I like aesthetic things. And she just came with so much knowledge. Like she was just spitting facts left and right. And I really came, like I walked away from that episode being like, wow, I did not realize that. Like I thought this was going to be a powerful episode, but it really opened my eyes to what fast fashion looks like in the everyday of today of keeping up with trends versus slow fashion and the need for sustainability efforts. And she is just very convicted on that specific. I mean, she has a lot of convictions in general. She's very passionate, but that seems to be something that she is like, that is a clear set passion of hers, including her business is wrapped up in that same transparency and mission. So that was just really eye-opening to me. And that was in, I think that was season two, but in season three, I mentioned the IVF episode. That one was like, I was trying to fight back tears as I was talking with her and her fertility journey.
But that's awesome. Have there been any memorable responses from your audience regarding season 3?
Yeah, so I do ask for feedback. I have polls now on every episode. If you go on Spotify, you can do the poll. I asked for it in stories. You know, people have written some really nice reviews, and we just did a new trailer. If you haven't listened to it yet, it's a combination of so many incredible women who came forward and said such nice things about the podcast. And that was super humbling and encouraging and just incredible. That's probably one of my favorite things from this season, because it's like, okay, I do have hype ladies. I do have people who are really getting behind this. And that was very meaningful and special to listen to. So if you haven't listened to the new trailer that was in celebration of season 3, I encourage you to go listen to it, because the first one was fine. It wasn't really very good at all. And then I feel like this one just takes it to the next level. But I'm always asking for feedback from friends and family, as well as those that I interview. I like to know like what they thought about the interview process. Like, was it seamless? Was their interaction with me, did they feel comfortable? All of that's super important. And I think it's really, really key to be asking for feedback consistently.
Big proponent for that. And I feel like I can definitely see how the Ladies Who Lead has like evolved over the last 3 seasons, even with, I think, your attitude when it comes to like creating and producing content for the Ladies Who Lead. It really stems from, you know, the confidence that you have. And I can tell that you've just gained confidence. And that's true for any creative out there who's just starting out. We're a little wobbly at first. It feels like you're a toddler when you're first starting off doing something, because you're kind of, you know, building the plane as you fly it. But now I feel like SK has definitely got her wings. She's creating stuff that people are really searching for and needing. And I think it comes back to marketing, understanding we now know that this audience that listens to the Ladies Who Lead, they're just like us. So we probably have to ask some questions like, what is most important to us right now in this season of life? What would be most helpful? And there's no doubt that, you know, season 3 has been a big help. I've told SK this before, but this feels like an exclusive club where we kind of get to just talk about what's really going on and what we're passionate about. And it's like a really nice lunch date, essentially. And that's, you know, the Ladies Who Lunch. That's how that bloomed this year. But it just feels very life-giving, and it's fun to watch. And I'm excited so much, you know, as we wrap up season 3, I hope it will be remembered for being that fun club where we can just talk about things. But what does it mean to you, like, looking back on this season? What did you gain from it? What will you remember from it, SK?
I think the word that comes to mind is like momentum. Like, I think that has been like what I've walked away with is like, I set out to do a thing and I freaking did it.
Heck yeah.
And that's a really good feeling. Like, when you set out to do something and you're like, okay, do I have like 500 million followers or listeners? Necessarily not yet, but at the same time, like, there's been such good growth, like so many great new downloads, new members joining daily on the membership. Giveaways happening left and right. The Ladies Who Lunch just premiered this season. There's just been so much good that was once just an idea and has finally like reached kind of that concept to completion. And of course, going to continue to find ways to level up, but it just is really, really good to see that momentum continue to be carried on multiple months in. Because, you know, it's easy to do something consistently for a few days or even for a week or two, but to do it for 8 months straight, that's when you start to really build in that momentum and that repetition.
Yeah, it's like going to the gym. Not that I would know a lot about that.
Me neither. I need to.
But when you get in your groove and you start going a lot, you can feel yourself getting stronger. And it's like a nice feeling to look in the mirror and be like, I didn't see how I changed yesterday, but I feel different today. And I feel sore. There's different things that I've learned, how to have a good stance, how to get the most effective workout. And I feel like this has just been one big journey for you. And I'm really proud of the work that you've done. So moving forward, like, you've told us a little bit about, you know, some challenges that you've faced over the last three seasons, how you've grown, how we've gained momentum. What can we look forward to in season four?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked. So I think bigger, better episodes. I think hopefully some great women can come forward and share their story and want to on this platform. And I'm excited about pitching to some of those higher level executives in the coming weeks and really getting in front of them. I am lining up some speaking engagements right now, which is really exciting. And then I want to dabble, I'm going to like knock on wood after I say this, in season four with video. I'm behind the eight ball on this one, but I feel like allergic to video personally.
It's tough. I understand what you mean. It's so tough.
Like, I just hate watching myself on video in general. It's just a complex that I have. So that's why I haven't done video interviews for like YouTube or even just to have on the website or even for like social content. I know it's important. Video is super important, which I'm forcing myself to just like get comfortable with, but it does not come naturally. And there's a lot more setup involved from like a studio perspective that I'm like dabbling with now. But again, like, I don't do podcast setup video work for a living all day, every day. So I'm like having to learn as I go. And, you know, that's a really vulnerable place to be in, especially going into a fourth season.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. I would love to see it evolve more. I would love to be able to go on location, on site to different cities and sit down with women to interview them. Again, all of that's going to have to like play out in some way. And I would also love to figure out a way to start funding a nonprofit that advances women in the workplace, whether it's like homeless women ministry that is looking to help women like do their interview prep and find a suit for their interview and help women get back into the workforce, I think is something that I feel very passionate about. And I'd love to find a creative way to, you know, donate towards those different causes.
That's awesome. And if any of you have some nonprofits that you're passionate about, please, you know, drop a message in the comments or, you know, send SK a DM, because that would be amazing. And I think that's what this is all about. We are creating a community of women who lift up each other. I'm so proud. I'm so excited. I've said it a million times, but I think this has been a great season to even watch from this side and listen from this side. And I'm so excited for season four.
Well, thank you so much, Lindsay, for changing this up today and flipping the script and, you know, being on the other side, the roles are reversed.
It's such a hard job.
Yeah, it's not the easiest to navigate, but you did a great job today. So thank you for taking the time to interview me. And I am just so thankful for each and every one of you who listen each week or every other week, whenever you decide to give it a listen. Thank you for your continued support. This isn't possible without you continuing to write reviews, sharing it with your friends, your family, your coworkers. If you have an interest in wanting to be a brand ambassador, let me know. There's several opportunities that I'd love to talk with you more exclusively about, but I am just so encouraged by this season and I cannot wait for season four. I will tell you, we have a few more episodes for season three and we're going to wrap it up, and then we'll have a few months during the summer to just rest and disconnect and rejuvenate from the podcast perspective. So it has just been such a fun ride, and I just appreciate all of you so, so much for continuing to tune in and support not just myself, but all women. So thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Ladies Who Lead podcast. Looking for another way to engage with the Ladies Who Lead podcast? Check out our Instagrams and our show notes at the Ladies Who Lead. And don't forget to check out our website, www.theladieswholead.com. Until next time, I'm SK Vaughn.